B'shem Kol Yisrael, this will be for the refuah shleima of all of Am Yisrael and the whole world. Mamish, for everyone who needs a zivu, for everyone who needs shalom bayis. All our Torah should mamish bring good stuff to the universe. So a little bit of a biography of Rabbeinu, Rav Kleinemis Kalmish Shapira, the author of Chovat HaTamidim, Derech HaMelech, Esh Kodesh, Bnei Machshava Toiva. But who was this man? So in 1890, Rav Kleinemis Kalman was born to a family of great, great rabbis. He was named after the same person I'm named after, the Maor Vashemesh, who we learned on Tuesday night, his beautiful Sefer, a very, very famous Polish Hasidic rabbi. And he was also related to the Chozim Lublin and many other great Hasidic rabbis. His father is a big rabbi. And he was destined for greatness. However, when he was 3 years old, his father passed away. So he was an orphan boy. And this is actually something that you can find throughout his works. And his avoda in life was to be a father figure for the Yidin, because he himself didn't have that father figure. He himself lost his father. So I think that was a big tikkun and a beautiful message for us. When you're missing something, to really ask yourself, like, how can I help the world in that very same way? So in any case, he grew up, got married real fast. I think at age, I've heard 12 and I've heard 15, but he got married real fast, beautiful, like Yidden did back then. And he had two children, a boy and a girl. And he ended up being a super genius. He was, really, really smart and knew a lot of daf of Gemara by heart. And beyond that, he had a revolutionary new philosophy in terms of Yiddishkeit. You see, he was living in Poland at a time when secularization was happening big time. And many, 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 many Jews were leaving the yeshivas and not going to yeshiva, and instead going to secularization at that time period. And he was trying to fight that. So what was his derech in fighting that? He opened up a yeshiva, and he wrote Sfarim. And the idea of, for example, Chovat HaTalmidim, is to teach children, to focus on children, when they're young, to have a vision, to have a passion, to have a dream, to be amazing Yidden. And he wanted to go away from the old school model of like punishment and just you have to do the mitzvahs and that's it. And instead, invigorate their imagination. And that's something he's constantly using in his Sfarim. Imagination and mental pictures and visualization, exactly. A lot of visualization stuff. In order to capture the minds and the hearts of the youth in particular. And really from a young age, get them to be holy Yidden. And he had this whole game plan about revolutionizing the Jewish world through positive stress on simcha of Judaism, on the amazingness of a life of dveikus, and the positive aspects of Judaism. Not just, you got to do it, but like really inspiring them about how amazing a life of true dveikut was. And he, in that light, he wrote the Sefer we're going to learn today, Derech HaMelech, which is on the Parsha. And he wrote a book for students, Chovat HaTamidim. He wrote a book for Avreichim, older Chevra, which is Avreichim, I forgot the world. And he also wrote a journal, Tzav Vezirus, a spiritual journal. He was a really revolutionary type of thing.
A spiritual journal.
He wrote about his life, but since he was such a spiritual guy, he often included a lot of spiritual ideas. It's very rare. You don't find this in most rabbis writing in journals. He's a very unique rabbi, very out of the box in many, many ways. So all that, he would have been, one of the most unique rabbis of the generation, but then the Holocaust happened.
Didn't Rambam do something similar?
Who?
Rambam.
There were other rabbis who wrote journals. But his is worth reading. If we have time, I'm happy to tell you my favorite passage from Tzav Vezirus, if you guys are interested. But in any case, The Holocaust made everything a little bit darker, and he's living in Poland, and many Yidden came to Poland, but it wasn't a good idea. And a lot of them got stuck in Warsaw. And the Nazis, Yimach Shemam, put them in this ghetto, the Warsaw ghetto. And basically, the Piaznetza Rebbe, Piaznetza was like near Warsaw, and he would like go back and forth between Warsaw and Piaznetza before the war, and he's a big Rebbe. And then he basically ended up becoming the Rebbe of the Warsaw ghetto. And we're talking thousands, tens of thousands of Jews, I think tens, a lot, like all living in horrible, horrible, horrible conditions. And who is giving their spiritual strength? The Rebbe, the Eish Kodesh. And he made a secret synagogue, a secret mikveh, secret weddings. He was fighting with all of his might to preserve Judaism under the hardest conditions. There's nothing to eat, there's nowhere to live, people were dying in the streets. I don't want to get into the details, but it was terrible, terrible. And his most famous sefer is Eish Kodesh. And that was his drushas that he gave at Shalosh Shudis, at the third meal. And you wouldn't know it because he doesn't actually mention the Holocaust or the Nazis, but he's really just trying to give energy and strength to the Yidden who are in their most horrible situation. And it's a very unique way of like giving them strength. And there's very radical things he says. He says it's the hardest thing that's ever happened in Jewish history. He screams at God. He complains about God. He says, God, this is too much, in his drushes. And he's always trying to find innovative ways to support his people, be truthful, be real, but at the same time, of course, always emunadik, always connected to the Torah and mitzvahs. And that ended up being, he wrote his drushes on Motzei Shabbos. And the story that Shlomo tells is that at the end, he wrote these all down, he hid it, and he wrote on it, if anybody ever finds these works, bring it to Yerushalayim. He had an uncle in Yerushalayim, but in Yerushalayim it says, Kimitzi Antei Torah. The Torah will never be wiped out of Yerushalayim. I don't know if there will be one Yid left in the world, but I know someone will have to be in Yerushalayim. So if you find this, bring it to Yerushalayim. And miraculously, I heard different stories that a construction worker, an American worker, found it by mistake and ended up publishing these works. So that's why we have his works. It's mamash a miracle. Unfortunately, the end of the story is he survived Warsaw because he was part of the Schultz factory, the shoe factory. He was offered a way out, but he didn't take it because he knew he was giving spiritual life to the Jews. And ultimately, he passed away in Treblinka, as did his family. But he was part of the uprisings, the Warsaw Ghetto uprisings, and he's really like, really, really invigorating, inspiring person, and you know, partially b'zchus Rav Shlomo and others, and now his works are being published all over the world, and more and more every year, more and more people are celebrating his yard setting, learning his teachings, and he's becoming bigger and bigger. There are many shuls named after him. There's yeshivas named after him now.
In Baltimore, right?
Yeah, they have one in my old yeshiva is now named after him. My rabbi, Rav Yair, actually bought me this set of books because he would call me Rav Kleiman's Common because I'm named after him.
Well, tell us what's an Eish Kodesh.
So again, so Eish Kodesh is a depressing sefer that I'm not going to learn.
No. Having you, why is it called Eish
Kodesh? Oh, why is it called? So he didn't call it Eish Kodesh, to be honest.
What is special about Eish Kodesh?
What a question. Eish Kodesh means a holy fire.
Yeah.
And if you ask me, what it reminds me of is the fire of Nadav and Avihu, where they were offering this holy fire to Hashem, and they were holy intentions, but they got burned up. So, the Yidden got burned up in the Holocaust, but their fire of Avodas Hashem and their sincerity never left us. So before we learn him inside, I want to tell you one last story to captivate your attention, because I heard it today. I was really inspired. And then we'll hear a little Torah in his own words. Is that good? Okay. So here's a crazy story. So,
I like the incense.
Yeah. Thank you. So every year, like I said, the Rebbe's fire is spreading further and further and further. This year more than last year, and next year it'll be even more. And there's an idea in Hasidus that the light of a tzaddik burns stronger and stronger and stronger after he passes away. We see this. We see this with Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Stronger and stronger. We see this with Shlomo. Stronger and stronger. We see this with Cook. Stronger and stronger every year. And we see this with the Rebbe and the Baba Trev. We see it all with the tzaddikim. It gets stronger and stronger based on their neshama after they die. So here's a real story that happened. Mamish. There's a sefer called The Last Chassid. And in this book, there was a person who was a chassid of the Rebbe and Piyesh Nessa. And this was at the end of the war. And he got taken to the kitchen. And he thought he was so lucky he wouldn't have to work outside in the freezing cold conditions of wherever. But he realized soon that it was not a blessing. Because it smelled disgusting in the kitchen. And there was rats and cockroaches, terrible things. And it was just a horrible existence. And what he started doing in order to survive is he would take the oil that the Nazis, Yimach Shemam, had on their vessels. They would spray a lot of oil on their vessels and it would gather it up to give him a little extra food. And one time, one Nazi saw that he was doing this and caught him. He said, "Jew, dirty Jew, go gather all your friends and eat." And they made him do it, and they gathered all his friends, and they said, "Jew, we're going to kill you right now. Because you stole, I saw what you're doing." And at that moment, the Yid says, he totally escaped the universe, and he imagined himself truly just being with his Rebbe, the Eish Kodesh. And he felt so connected to his Rebbe. And he was just smiling to finally be able to leave this world and go back to be with his Rebbe. And he literally felt his Rebbe's hand embracing, holding him and calling him in and embracing him. And he disappeared from the world. And then he wakes up, and who does he see? This Nazi. And he doesn't understand what's going on. And the Nazi says, "Meshugana, Jew, Meshugana, get out of here." And he doesn't understand what's going on. And he's still alive. And he goes home that night. And he asks his friend what happened. And his friend said, "You don't know what happened?" It's like, "I have no idea what happened." He says, "Something came hold of you and you started screaming at the Nazis, 'Rishaim, wicked men, wicked men. You care about the oil on your vessels, but you don't care about the rusty oil of the Jewish body.'" And he started screaming at the Nazis, Yimach Shemam. And the Nazis were taken care of. Eish Kodesh, it's good to have fire. So, and the Nazis... And the Nazis let him go for some reason. And he was sure, because he had no recollection of saying this, that the Rebbe gave him these crazy words to freak out the Nazis. And that's why he's still alive. He survived the war. Why am I telling you that story? Because it's an example of the Rebbe reaching out even beyond his physical life to save this person's life. And he ended up saving his student's life. And so right now, we're a little bit connected to the Rebbe. And this is the most special thing Shlomo teaches. He writes that if the Rebbe promised that if you learn my Sefer, I will vouch for you in the heavenly thrones. He promised, "I will vouch for you if you learn my Torah." And he'll reach out. So I think every single one of us and all of Am Yisrael needs a lot of tefillos and a little bit of help from our holy brother, rabbi friends. So it would be great if we got some help from the Rebbe. Every one of us. And I thought it would be appropriate to open up his beautiful Sefer Derech HaMelech, which is a little bit more cheerful than Eish Kodesh, so I connect more to it because I'm a cheerful type of guy. And I thought we'd learn Parshas Noach. Is that okay?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
More than okay.
Amazing. Perfect. So give me 20 minutes of your attention. 15? And I'll give you the word. Okay, B'Shem Kol Yisrael, in the words of the sweet Rebbe, Eila told us Noach. These are the children of Noach. V'navina. Generation of children. Yelad. Im ho'el v'yizkir sefer shivcha. So the first thing it says, what we learn in Rashi, once we mention the tzaddik Noach, we're also going to mention his praise. Noach, tzaddik, tamim. Fine. That's what Rashi says. Why do we have to say
Eile Torah al dos Noach is sadik. Why don't you say Eile Torah al Noach is sadik? By the extra word. Plus, we have this famous midrash where some people praise Noach and say he was great, and some people say he wasn't that great. What's that all about? It's brought down from the Rebbe Rav Dov. The Arizal writes that after a proper tefillah, a little bit of that tefillah remains on your brain. Because tefillah, as we all know, is not about getting what you want, you asked for. Tefillah is about, it's a meditation to change our energy, to change how we interact with the universe. So the Arizal says when you have a true tefillah, there's a reshimu, there's a reverberation on your brain. Zoti achnash nishar ba'adam. So the Rebbe says that's the humility that a person gets after he davens. It's true. You can't live every moment with this awakening of heart and brain at that level. But still, a little bit of the humility remains after you daven. Adkan l'shanak doshim. That is the words of the Arizal. After you daven, you are a little bit humbler.
Mm-hmm,
okay?
Sure.
You feel a little bit more
absolutely
mamish. So are you saying he's vibing with the Arizal?
Oh, yeah. Wow. I feel it. It's amazing.
Kaval. All right, we should just stop here. But we want to taste more.
Should we try davening?
Afterwards. So that's simple. Mahi v'rishima. But what does it mean, this rishima? The remnant. Kishakotvimot v'mochimot onishet rishima. When you write a letter, then you erase it before computers and stuff, there was still a little bit of, you could see what you wrote.
Mm-hmm.
Right? We don't remember, but Ari remembers it. Mm-hmm. Back in the day, with pencils and erasers. Ainu shaliv nunit anyar eino nikar kokach. You don't know the white so much. We don't recognize the white. Because shachar sa'ot she'etavkins of the blackness of the pencil. If not for the blackness, you would see the whiteness. But the white gets nullified because of the black that was there. That's true humility in a person. If there's light that's shining down upon a person through a true tefillah, through a true davening, so then there's humility. But if there's no real light, then there's no real humility. There's no hachna. There's no subjugation. The simin legasas ruach anias batar. The Gemara in Sanhedrin says, you know when a person's arrogant, you know what that means? It means he hasn't learned Torah. The only person who could be truly arrogant is someone who hasn't learned Torah. If you taste the infinity of Torah, then there's no place for arrogance. Wow.
So true, isn't it? It's amazing.
Yeah, you see a real Talmud Chacham, he doesn't have a speck of arrogance.
Absolutely.
You know, because he knows so much, it's so much deeper, so much more beyond. But someone who doesn't know anything, so then he doesn't.
And no anger, you know?
Yeah, he just lets it be. Shebeimu ani v'tor v'enu or shal kedusha. But if he's an ani and he doesn't have the light of Kedusha, if he's arrogant, even if he thinks he's humble, no, that's not real humility. That's emptiness. He doesn't have anything, so that's why he's lowly. But it's not that it's like a tzaddik has so much, but he's lonely. He just doesn't have anything. There's a person that has no spirit. He doesn't have a desire, a passion. And he's low because he's like a sick person. He's very low. Not because he's humble. Because he doesn't feel his spirit breaking down. But it's a breaking of his bones. But the truth is, the Torah is the opposite. Havi az kanamer, be bold like a leopard. Ish chazak b'moach v'ratzon, strong in your brain, strong in your desires. Chazak l'avodah, v'im kozei yebach, but nonetheless humble. Lo mimnei shurik, not because he's empty. Rak mimnei sha'orbo, because of the great light that's coming down. Nidbatel yoter v'nechna l'kdusha. So he's nullified by the love of the Torah, of the light of Torah. And even after he davened, Rishima od al kopanim nisharava od nechna. There's still a little bit of that light that you could feel shining upon a person after a real tefillah. Kivalt, right? Mamish. V'taloyim tefillat ha'or mikif et kol gufo. And it really depends on whether when you daven, did all of the light surround you? Choder v'chol pnimiyato, did it go into your depth? And did the great light get inscribed on your whole body and your powers? Then you become humbled. But when the holiness did not surround your entire body, you didn't go all in internally, but inside and outside, even though your mind may have thought the words of tefillah, but your body didn't feel it. You won't see it in the body. So that's why the Gemara in Brachas Yud Gimel says, davening is lev, is a heart. In kiven libo, you directed your heart. Afshi ikar kavanah b'machshav, even though it's mainly in your thoughts, shi b'moch, which is in your brain, ava b'kavanot ha'moch b'vadal, but it's not good enough to think words in your brain. Rak b'gam b'kavanot ha'lev shekolele kol ha'gufo, but the heart, which includes the entire body, needs to also be included in the davening experience. That's what I was telling Daniel last night, that because I was preparing the shiur, that it reminded me of when I was younger, that I used to dive in like a madman and like shake a lot. And like, I don't know, I've calmed down with like Jewish meditation and whatever, but I feel like a desire to get back into full body tefillah in the schos of the Rebbe. And I feel like I've been davening better dafka. Like Shabbos is for like humble meditation, and like during the week, get your whole body into the tefillah. At least that's been working for me. A bit some more. And that's the excitement of davening. If you give someone a gift that's not so excited, I would give Daniel, what's something you're not so excited about?
Fluffy animal.
He's not so excited. He's not so like nullified in front of the fluffy animal, even a beanie baby. But then when you give him something you really like, what do you really like?
Chocolate ice cream.
We could bring it out for dessert.
Yeah.
Or if something you haven't seen for a very long time, mitpael kulo mimpanav, he's so excited. He doesn't want to eat it, he doesn't want to drink, he doesn't give anything, he just wants a chocolate ice cream.
Wants to sit with the guy and play music and sing.
Mamish, if you love music, you just want to be there. You just want to be the moment. For me, it's music. For me, it's like ultimate frisbee. Like you're just in the moment. You're just like, that's all I want. I try to run like a madman. He's totally nullified in front of it. And he's not even hungry anymore. Baal Shem Tov talks about this. The Jew, even the simple Jew, when you really think about the fact tomorrow morning that you're davening, or tonight when you say Amapio, when you say Shema, or when we bench, you're really standing in front of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Asher b'yodah kol chiyas ha'olam, where God has all the vitality of all the universes. V'lo koach v'mashallah l'shiyah b'kol tzrachah v'guf v'nefesh. And he has the ability to save you in every way. V'kol chiyato me'achayet b'nei b'yit ha'b'chayet kol yitzrah v'kol shar techem tulim. And every single moment we're completely dependent on Hashem. Until this moment he's begging for Hashem. As nafto mishtapechet, his soul just like sprays forth. And all of his powers are totally nullified before HaKadosh Baruch. And especially someone who has a hardened brain, even when he's not asking for things. Imagine if every time we said the word Baruch Atah Hashem, We felt this. Bavanu mitbonen kama krov ani l'Hashem. How close am I to Hashem? Ata achi omer la b'losh nochach. Until it gets to the word ata, v'nidmolosh derech kol ha'olamot ma'machsim ha'machitot ma'afzika nifrat v'petach yesh l'Hashem. All of the things that were disconnecting us from Hashem have suddenly been dis. They don't exist anymore. We're totally standing before Hashem. Who omer ot alef ne adar kedusha v'noran malchut ha'omer lav ata Hashem baruch. How excited he is from this. He has no body, he's totally nullified. He's totally nullified from the light of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Until after the davening, that holiness is still upon him. Okay? Alright. I think in rabbi school, they taught me that if 40% of your clientele are sleeping, it might be a sign from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They're visiting the Holy World. They're visiting the Rebbe in their spiritual dreams. But, so we'll stop here. But
should we try something else?
Yeah, let's do a quick summary. And then we're going to bring this Torah into practice.
We're going to bench with Kavana?
Oh, I like it. It's a good idea.
Can we pretend that we're surrounded by the light?
Yes, we can do that. Let's do it. Let's mamash do it. But, quick summary. We started off with lots of questions on the Parsha. Yeah. We never answered any of those questions, which just shows you that the questions are not really... that we don't actually have to answer our questions in life, and we could still get a lot of great stuff out of it. So we'll have to keep learning more over Shabbos or something to get the answers to the questions. But the main thing we talked about was tefillah, and how tefillah is not just a rote experience, but it's drawing the divine light on us. And when you draw that divine light all over your body, what happens to you? You become
godly
and
kedusha. You remember
kedusha and humble. You become like mamish subjugated and totally and you have a remnant of the holiness that surrounds your body and your heart and makes you a completely different person. So Hashem should bless us in this chus of the Heilige Esh Kodesh, whose Torah gets sweeter and sweeter. Mamish, that we should take our tefillah seriously for this next week at least. Until next week, when Bezrat Hashem will learn another mimer from the Rebbe to inspire us to become better Yidden and keep on rocking with holiness.